You may be looking for brains, but you have found Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases, and it's time for a nutty debate. We have got a special panel. We are recording this on Valentine's Day, and it's a bunch of us who are, well, we're not out making gushy faces at our loves, obviously. So this is going to be the what is the best movie to watch on Valentine's Day when you don't like Valentine's Day. And with me today, I have Aaron Jackson from the Prisoner Intro Cast and Grace.
Salutations.
Hello.
I have Bill the Radical Geek.
Hi there. Let's get this thing going.
I have Dave Slusher from the Evil Genius Chronicles.
I am.
Next we have Mr. John Donahue from the Prisoner Intro Cast as well.
Hello.
And we have the fantastic Lulu.
Hi.
From everything you've heard, but you didn't know she was involved in.
Yes, there's a lot of those.
Little Miss Behind the Scenes.
Yes, I'm an intern at podiobooks.com.
Awesome.
Yes.
I think.
Do a bunch of work at Shadow Publications.
I'm proofing a lot of stories for authors.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're constantly getting credits on Cooley's stuff.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, every podcast.
I will have to go listen to that. Garagos Children, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah, that was me.
You see? She doesn't even know how much she's doing. So who wants it? Lulu, since you came up with the topic, can you give us some excellent recommendations on what to watch on Valentine's Day?
My all-time favorite is Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, that's my all-time favorite movie, period.
Oh, yes. But on Valentine's Day, special.
Especially if you have fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Ooh.
Excellent. Other suggestions?
Anything by Terry Gilliam.
Yeah.
12 Monkeys Brazil. It's like if you're in a weird mood, you can put that on, you know? You're looking for something a little off the wall.
12 Monkeys is fantastic. And there's a TV show, right? Has it come out?
Yeah, Sci-Fi Channel has it.
Yeah, it's out now.
It's too bad, actually.
I haven't watched it. I kept meaning to, but
it's actually pretty good. I've seen it. I'm hooked.
Okay.
It's a little dark. It's a lot darker, a lot more serious than the movie. They have the same. Yeah, it's a lot more serious. Let's say that. And it's more of a drama than a scoop, like an acid trip, I guess.
Well, it's not being directed by Terry Gilliam, so it's not going to be an acid trip.
Okay.
He has that special brand of it's like surrealist directing or something. This way of warping your reality when you watch, you know, signature Terry Gilliam films, not just films that were directed, but his signature ones. You know, Brazil, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus,
Time Bandits,
exactly. You know, all of these have very, you get into a different headspace when you watch them.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Absolutely. Who's got another one?
See, I've been thinking of movies that are stealth romance movies.
Okay.
So one of them would be Fight Club.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Fight Club.
Which actually, if we're not worried about spoiler alerts for a 17-year-old movie, it's really about a romance between a guy and himself.
Yep.
Yeah. Another one, which is my favorite, not anywhere near the best movie I've ever seen, but it is my favorite movie, is George Romero's Knight Riders. Anyone else ever seen this movie?
I've never heard of it. The name is there, but...
It's, I want to say 79 or 80. It was probably between the movie between Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead. And it's a movie about this bizarre Renaissance festival where people joust on motorcycles.
I
have memories of jousting on motorcycles.
It was the first movie that Ed Harris starred in, and it really is a romance between the King Arthur character and the guy who's his contender for the crown, and this is a movie that probably my most rewatchable. You know, it's the movie I can come back to again and again and again, and it just always makes me as happy as the first time I saw it. So that would be my. It is a bizarrely long movie. The first time I watched it was with my father on New Year's. Christmas Eve, after going to like midnight services, church services, coming home and watching this. And this is on HBO in the days when if it was over 2 hours, they used to have to change the tapes in the middle. Yeah. Anyone else old enough to remember this? Or you'd have the 2 minute intermission between the reels. And at some point, it was about maybe 1:15. And they go into that intermission, and my dad says, "Holy,
Paco.
There's another hour of this to go."
I don't remember that from watching it on HBO, but my grandmother had HBO, and I remember that from my aunt would tape everything that came on HBO and pass it around the family. So I remember getting the separate VHSs and just like, whoa, this is a 2 VHS movie? Really?
I got a few of those, and I thought, wait, these come in more than one VHS? Because I first found them in the stack. I thought, okay.
That's how I had to watch Fiddler on the Roof.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. That's a long one that doesn't feel as long as it is.
No, it doesn't.
Mostly because the singing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In that vein of the movie that's actually a love story that people don't realize or it's hidden, I have said for a while that Shaun of the Dead is the perfect date movie.
Yeah.
It's got the perfect bromance in it between Sean and his buddy.
Well, and it also shows how you to have a successful relationship, you need to be able to balance your romantic relationship and your friendships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't leave your best friend behind just because you found someone, but there has to be, and they have to care about each other. So to me, that's a very, very nice love story.
Yeah. For me, I'd be Gattaca.
Mm. Okay.
That, I think, is a science fiction romance movie. It's a romance movie for geeks.
that's the one where they know from their DNA all of their potential, right?
It's where they divide society by whether they're genetically engineered to be perfect or not. One guy tries to fake his way into the system.
Right. And he, again, spoilers for a very old movie, his parents were like, oh, we're just going to let it happen naturally because we love each other and it's going to be perfect. And then they find out, oh, there's a defect. And so the next kid they have, they go through genetic engineering, and that's the person whose job it is to catch him.
Yeah.
And then one of the other characters, which I thought was really interesting, was genetically engineered, and there was a mistake. But they let her into the upper class because, we understand your condition. But
is that Uma Thurman's character?
Isn't it? Yeah, Uma Thurman. Uma Thurman?
Yeah, she was.
Okay.
Why did I think it was Gwyneth Paltrow? I haven't seen it in a while.
It's because Gwyneth Paltrow's a better actress.
Possibly. I don't know. Speaking of getting back to Terry Gilliam, she made a great Venus in Baron von Munchausen.
Oh, she was in that, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. I love that movie. It's horrible.
I have to see it again.
Wonderful. I introduced it to Tech, and it was one of those, he's going to really hate it because I loved it when I watched it as a kid. And then he watched it, he's like, all right, that is really weird, but that is really funny. I was like, oh, yes, win. Introducing him to Legend did not work so well.
What was wrong with Legend?
Talk to Tech. I'm not going to do his rants for him.
Hey, we all have disagree. We're all entitled to our opinions. Remember that.
All right, Donahue, you haven't given us one?
I got nothing.
All right, then. You're very helpful.
Well, you know, after a long road of, what, like 3.5 years, I'm finally on the Nutty Bites podcast, and I
This is your first time
he's
on.
Finally on our, he's finally on your podcast.
We have two virgins here.
You've been on his podcast, but he's not been on your podcast.
That's fantastic. I didn't even realize that. You know what? You probably kept played it close to the chest, afraid I was going to not let you on.
Yeah,
I'm surprised I got on at the last minute.
That's great. All right. So, what are some other really great non-Valentine movies?
Full Metal Jacket.
The first half.
Charlie, don't surf. I have to see that one.
The Charlie Don't Surf thing is from Apocalypse Now.
See, that's how much I don't know about Vietnam movies.
Neither one of those movies are particularly good.
I never said it was a good movie. We were just talking anti-Valentine's movies.
Okay, if you want to do that, heavy metal.
You know what?
Okay, well, if we're going along that, you know, why don't we just throw out Predator? That's a perfect anti-Valentine's Day movie.
You know what? Actually, I think I can't remember which one it was, but I think it might have been AVP 2 that I saw around Valentine's Day. There was one of the Predators that I saw around Valentine's Day. So, yeah, that works.
That movie is an abomination. God, AVPs. God.
AVP 2 was okay. AVP
except that you couldn't see anything. It was so goddamn dark.
That's going for the noir film. The
I thought of a good one.
Yeah?
Retired, Extremely Dangerous, and It's Even Better sequel.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Red.
Yes.
What?
Red.
Retired, Extremely Dangerous, and Red 2.
I want to be... I can't remember her name off the top of my head all of a sudden. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I want to be Helen Mirren. Because white evening gown, combat boots, and a Gatling gun. It's just the perfect combination. And when I am in my mother's age and cosplaying, I'm going to cosplay her, and it will be awesome.
You should wear that for your wedding.
Just show up at the reception wearing combat boots. I do own a pair.
There you go.
I'm not going to complain. I mean, that's one less thing you'll have to change out of when we travel on the road afterwards.
And I can kick all the haters.
A good friend of ours, she had 18 whole docks under her wedding dress.
What?
18 whole docks under her wedding dress. They were
live.
You're going to have to explain that one, Nutty.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused.
Doc Martens?
Ducks.
I wasn't sure what you were saying. Hey. Ducks or crocs?
How would you get 18 live ducks under a wedding dress?
Harnesses, little tiny harnesses.
What?
Remember, Frenchie.
She was wearing Doc Martens, Bill, not Crocs. She's a punk. Not a limo.
Okay.
From the hangout page, we are getting from Martin. He says, I could always watch Kill Bill. Certainly anti-Valentine's Day and love.
Yeah, love Kill Bill.
That assumes that you think Kill Bill is any good, which it's
I think
not.
Part 2 is significantly better than Part 1. If you treat them as separate movies, I actually like the kind of the modern Western whole end of that. I like the whole part with Bill, the confrontation with Bill, that like very slow, very long conversation. That's like the best half hour to me of the whole pair of movies.
Supposedly it was like an action film done in reverse. That's what they said they wanted to do. They wanted to make an action film in reverse.
Yet they made the whole thing boring.
Huh?
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, don't waste
part one, part two, or the whole thing.
When it came out to theaters and I realized it was a two-parter, I said, I want to see it together. So I didn't go to see it, the first one in theaters. And when the second one came out, I just never got around to it.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So in the vein of Valentine movies or anti-Valentine's Day movies where it's all about your friendships and that you have to be able to maintain your friendships. I have another movie that is completely out of the vein where we've been going, but it's a really fun movie. Saving Silverman.
I've seen that one.
I did see that one. That's... I can see how it goes there.
Yeah,
it's
about a guy. He meets a girl who basically takes over his life, makes him give up everything he's passionate about, and his friends decide that they're going to save him from her. Unfortunately, they do it in the worst way by kidnapping her and eventually getting their old high school coach to come talk some sense into him. And it involves a bus chase and Neil Diamond, and, well, it's just crazy and awesome.
Bus chase?
Oh, yeah.
And Arlie Ermey is perfect in that. If you're an Arlie Ermey fan and you haven't watched that yet, watch it.
It's going on the list.
No spoilers, anyone.
All right.
But yes.
I'm going to show my origins. Amelie.
Oh, Amelie. That's too lovey-dovey, though. That's really nice.
It's nice, but it's crazy.
It is. It's absolutely crazy.
Yes, I love the craziness.
And I love how for her, it's all about making people in her community happy.
Yes.
So Amelie is a French film with Audrey Tautou. It's absolutely beautiful. It's beautifully shot. And she just goes around doing little things, pulling strings in the background to make people's lives better. And then there is a romance that happens from that.
Yes.
It's not on the list.
Yes. I don't know about the English version, but...
Oh, I watched it subtitled.
Subtitled? Okay.
I'd watch it subtitled also. Okay. And so, yes, I'm used to subtitles.
I
know they dubbed it, but... Oh. I don't know how it sounds.
Oh,
yeah, I do the same. I do the same when I listen to Star Trek with Homer Simpson's voice for Captain Picard. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm a longtime anime fan, so it's like you go with the subtitles.
That does remind me of. I was in Quebec and I turned on The Simpsons were on TV, and apparently the translations were really cool, but whenever they laughed, it was all hon, hon, hon.
So every French person laughs, right?
Clearly.
I tend to prefer subtitles, although I will admit that with the new Ghost in the Shell Arise, As soon as the dubs came out, I watched the dubs, and it was easier. And I think that's because I'm used to Ghost in the Shell being dubbed.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And they have amazing voices in Standalone Complex. What's his name? He does everything.
I don't know what his name.
I know it was a demo.
I can't remember. I'm getting smacked, I'm sure, from tech way off screen. Like, how can you forget these names? We always talk about them. Anyway, fantastic. So that's the only one. But if I can watch something and it's a foreign language film, I much prefer to watch the subtitles. And for Amelie, the subtitles were pretty big, so I could read them on a 13-inch TV when I first bought the DVD. So,
yeah.
I like that on Netflix you can adjust your subtitles, but I hate Netflix because they've removed other subtitles to do that. So, like, you don't get any dates on movies and TV shows that you're watching. You don't get the settings. And if they've translated foreign language in the episode, that's removed too. So if people are speaking Russian, you have no idea what they just said.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Wait.
Maybe we should start a petition.
That's supposed to be in the footage.
Yeah, well,
they've removed it from the footage.
Yep.
Watch X-Files, You never know when it's a different day.
My comm student heart is breaking. That's terrible. Why would you do that?
Because Netflix.
There was an episode in X-Files where they're going backwards in time, and mm-hmm. I had no clue what was going on. And it wasn't until I talked to people who had the DVD. They're like, yeah, that's going backwards. I'm like, but it never says anything.
I hope they don't do that to 12 Monkeys if they ever get there, because that's the whole premise of the series.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of those movies when I don't buy as many movies as I used to, but when I own them, I would much rather watch them on DVD or Blu-ray, and that is one that I have that I love. So what are
I'm talking about the series they have out now.
Say again? Sorry. Oh, the series.
The series, because that's the whole premise of the series, is bouncing back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so what are some other really great non-Valentine's Days movies?
If you want to go back to that that friendship theme, I would say Clerks 2 is a good one for that.
I will agree with you 100%. Clerks 2.
I actually cried at the very end of Clerks 2 when they were in the jail cell.
Yeah, that was moving. I think Clerks 1 was that you're young and it's get over yourself and think mm-hmm. about what's important. And then Clerks 2 is be thankful for what you have. So it'll be interesting to see what Clerks 3 is. And on that theme, Chris Price is in the Q&A and he says, how about Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back? And, you know, Chris, I got to agree with you. Again, talk about an amazing relationship. I mean, Jay and Silent Bob, they're fantastic.
Hold on, I think I got something.
Oh.
Well, I would kind of say Ted.
Ted. I agree. I've just watched that recently.
If we're in the subject of your friendships, yes, it's definitely the anti. I know you hate that movie, but I think it's hilarious.
It may be hilarious, but I still hate it.
Okay. You talked about sort of like the friendship theme. One thing I find out is this is your friends trying to get you out, trying not to make you go down the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie here, Brewster's Million, is probably the movie that talks about that. What do you expect when you get $30 million you have to spend in 30 days with no assets, the clothes on your back, and you have to get full value for what you bought?
Buy a lot of stupid stuff is what you do.
Well, the most interesting one was for $1.2 million, you bought a very rare stamp and mailed it.
Yes.
Oh, why?
I haven't watched Brewster's Millions in, like, well over 20 years.
It has a special place in my heart. That's all I gotta say.
Does it hold up?
Yeah, it actually does hold up.
Okay. That's one of those things. There's certain movies that I'm often afraid to watch because I'm afraid they're not as good as I remember them to be. And if I watch them and I get disappointed, and then there's others where I was like, no, it's just as good. But yes, Brewster's Millions. And I will agree, Ted was, although there were a couple of things in there that I'm like, but yes, absolutely. And again, she had to care about his best friend, and his best friend had to care about her for it to work. And that was really neat. And Jay and Silent Bob, you know, best buds for life. That's that whole Sherlock and John Watson thing, you know.
That's how I refer to a friend like that, where we're like our own version of Jay and Silent Bob.
He's your hetero life mate?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, I really have a soft spot in my heart for movies that celebrate friendships, because I have friendships that mean so much to me. And it's important, those things. So what are some other movies?
A movie that celebrates friendships would be Lord of the Rings.
No.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, talking friends.
No, you take 9 of your closest friends on a journey, 2 of them die, and the rest of them are irreparably scarred. This is the perfect friendship movie. I'm kidding.
Okay. Yeah, your one best friend who carries
carries this bizarre item of strange power. Sure.
Well, I mean, you know.
That movie is like Strange Bedfellows, more like it. Okay. Friendship.
Well, it doesn't have to be friendship. We can also go back to these horror movies and all sorts of fun there.
Yeah, we can always go with yesterday, Friday the 13th.
I've
never seen any of them, just actually, so, because I'm not a big horror fan, but...
I'm much more a fan of the original Halloween.
Okay.
And I actually liked, what was it, Halloween 2000 or whatever, or H2000?
Oh, H2O?
H2O, whatever it was called. The one with Jamie Lee Curtis
again.
Yeah,
it's called H2O.
And, yeah, okay. And Janet.
That's H2O.
That was kind of cool. I like that. But most of the horror movie remakes, like, I mean, the Friday the 13th remake with... Sam Winchester was just,
I dated a girl who liked horror movies. We'd go to it, and I'm just going, and she'd go, isn't that scary? I go, no. It's like, okay, kids coming out of the darkness. Okay, that's nothing, you know. There's the monster. Okay, not scary. If you want to see a scary movie, go see Willow Creek. Bobcat Goldthwait making about Bigfoot. You don't see Bigfoot. You just hear him. You
like
don't see it.
Yeah, it sounds like Cloverfield
stuff.
Yeah, Cloverfield was probably the only true horror type movie I've seen. And that was...
Really?
Yeah, I can't do scary things. Okay, look, I can't do scary things. The only equivalent thing I've seen is Deathbed, the bed that eats.
That movie was great.
That wasn't scary. It was weird.
No, it was totally scary.
Okay, so absolutely that frightening, but I never want to watch it again if you're talking
it was
bad
scarring,
movies in the
not
room.
Scary.
So, no. Just because it's bad and scares you doesn't make it great.
No, I'm not saying that Cloverfield was great. Cloverfielding was actually pretty awful, and I more watched it for the film technique.
Okay, Aaron, you and Grace need to watch a movie. It's called
Pinhead.
May.
Hellraiser.
No. She needs to. They need to watch together. The movie is called May. M-A-Y.
May.
I'm not going to be held responsible for any injuries resulting from watching this movie.
Don't worry, it's not Friday the 13th, Blake.
2002 or the 2007 version.
There's a 2000. Wait.
Well, there's a 2007 movie called May.
It should be 2002, I assume.
You see, that one's about...
Oh, that's a drama. Never mind.
Yeah,
never
that mind. One looks up to be about cancer.
2007, 2002.
Oh, yeah, 2002.
Okay. Okay.
Fine, I will...
We'll find a way. We'll find a way.
I gotta check this.
It's quite good if you have children. They need to be... In bed, and not the kind of kids that might wake up and come downstairs.
Okay.
Not because it's a really scary movie, it's just kids should not see it.
Oh.
Staying in that film, another movie we can do is Audition. It's a Korean film. I don't know if anybody else has seen it. Anybody?
Nope. But it Audition. Being Korean yep. makes me think it's quite gory.
Don't look in the bag. Don't look in the bag. Just don't look in the bag.
Oh, Cabin in the Woods is a good one too. That is always a favorite.
I have issues with Cabin in the Woods.
Again, a movie I would watch more for the technique than the actual content.
Yes. And no talking about anything that happened in Cabin in the Woods, because my opinion is that Cabin in the Woods is best when you have no idea what you're going into.
Okay.
I'm just going to say that the movie plays better if you know a lot of horror movie tropes.
If you know the tropes,
then it plays off of that. But that movie was not nearly as good as it was pitched to me as, because it was like, oh my god, Josh Whedon, this is the greatest horror movie
see,
ever made.
That's the thing, you shouldn't know anything about it. Just go see it.
And then I watched it, and it was like,
it was awesome.
That's because you got a total hard on for Josh Whedon.
Joss, and no, I thought it was going to be stupid. Because
his work gets all your lady parts all a quiver, doesn't it?
Oh,
honey?
Please.
Oh.
Anyway,
Nice. Cabin in the Woods is one of those other. I predict a lot of Joss Whedon franchises to be really bad because they sound really stupid, and then I watch them and I go, oh, damn it, he was.
He somehow pulled it off.
Yeah. So Chris Price has another suggestion, and he says, how about The Exorcist? And I've got a really good story when it comes to The Exorcist.
Ooh. That's a good movie. Grace, watch The Exorcist.
Horror of Christ compels you to watch it.
Do you want to peel me off the ceiling at 3 in the morning?
Yes. Sure. You know, I'm like 45 minutes away from you. I'll just come over and peel you off the ceiling.
Yeah.
I was dating an ex, and he wasn't an ex at the time, but...
we understand what you're saying.
His yeah, parents, we got it. Their very first date was to see The Exorcist. They went to see The Exorcist on their first date.
Oh boy!
And so, I think it was a blind date or something weird like that. Well, they were having an anniversary around the same time as they put Exorcist back in theaters. The original movie, it was coming to theaters. So my ex is, well, let's go, and we'll go with my mom and dad, and we'll do, you know, like a double date thing. And I'm like, okay. So we, and I had never seen The Exorcist before. And I had heard about it, and I knew the tropes, you know. I remember Leslie Nielsen walking in and going, oh, hell no, and walking out. I mean, we all know the jokes.
Repossessed.
So we go in, and we're watching this movie, and I'd seen horror movies. I know what modern horror movies are like, and I am just giggling because it's silly. It is silly by modern standards, and I'm just like laughing. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's horrible. And when
was it the remake of what was that Bruce Campbell movie? Evil Dead.
Yeah.
That was laughable. But, the remake was laughable.
Yeah. Well, and the original is pretty laughable. So I'm just sitting there and I'm giggling because it's so funny to me. His parents pulled him aside and asked if I were high or drunk. That's a really scary movie. And anyone who knows me in life knows I don't really drink. So the idea, I am always the designated driver. So the idea that, yes, Donahue has seen me drink at one of the three times a year that I will drink is Balticon. Dave has seen me drink. Lulu has seen me drink.
Yes.
Aaron will see me drink. look, there's a couple of times a year I tend to drink. I have some champagne with New Year's. There's Cinco de Mayo. And there's Balticon.
Yeah.
And yeah. Anyway. Also, I was a lot younger then, and I liked a lot less alcohol back then. But it was just so funny. He's like, no, she...
What is wrong with you?
What, is she drunk? No. Is she taking drugs? No. Did she mix up her medications? No. She's just not scared.
A movie that traumatized me, and it would sound silly to you. It was with Michael Keaton, Interference in French, it was in English. He was looking at TV screens with snow in them and
white noise.
Yeah. I think it's Interference in French, but I didn't know.
Right.
And it traumatized me. I can't look at snow in a screen anymore. I'm afraid to see faces.
Well, that's okay because it gives you a blue screen now.
Yeah.
We don't get static on TV anymore.
Yeah, but I have not had a TV set for 5-6 years.
There you go.
Another way to fix it.
For me, the Poltergeist movie did that to static. Because when I saw the Poltergeist movie, I was pretty young. And we had static on every other channel because we had rabbit ears, right?
Yeah.
Switching channels, it was the same exact experience. And it was like, oh, I am. And the only part that was seriously creepy, and I didn't find that movie too scary as a kid, but the only creepy part was my baby sister, who is this little blonde child, flipping the channels. And if she stayed too long in the snow, I'm like, okay, you can change the channel a lot faster than that. Thank you. I don't need to see blonde children looking at static.
Okay.
Yes.
To segue a second off of that Poltergeist story, the part in Poltergeist always used to freak me out was when the little clown doll attacked the kid.
Oh, yes.
And there's a reason behind that why that always freaked me out.
You had that clown doll?
No, not exactly that clown.
It's a creepy doll.
It's coming after you.
Exactly.
But I had a great aunt, and for, I want to say it was a Christmas, I was like 6 or 7, she had made me, my brother, and my sister these like, kind of like candle, like marionette things you hang up from the ceiling and they kind of turn, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. Except they were like they were handmade clowns with porcelain masks, and their bodies were all crocheted. Right. Took her the better part of the year to make all three of them. But I remember, you know, when I got it, I was like, oh, hey, it's a little clown doll, cool. And then a couple days later, my older sister decided she wanted to watch It because she had started getting into Stephen King. And, okay. You know, in retrospect, coming back to It later, you know, watching it later, it's laughable. It's a complete joke of a movie. Yeah. But as a little kid, watching It with my sister and my brother and just being like, and then going to sleep that night. And I've got this little clown thing hanging over my bed, and I'm like, I can't sleep. Clown will eat me.
That is fantastic. I absolutely love it. When we were watching Poltergeist, it reminded me of another bit of the Poltergeist story. Is we watched Poltergeist in the living room with the whole family. And each of us in the family, we collect different things. I collect frogs. One of my sisters, she collected clowns. And my grandmother knit this clown doll. It was actually really cute and not scary at all. And she called him Clowny. And we're watching that movie, and it pans over the clown, and all of a sudden, like, half the family goes, hey, look, it's Clowny.
No.
Ruining.
It's always ruined. He went in the closet, and we never saw him again.
He's around somewhere, I'm sure, but I don't think she's given him to
her. I'm surprised it wasn't Redfern.
Have you guys heard that they're doing a remake on Poltergeist?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I've seen the trailer.
I'm not surprised.
The trailer looks decent, I guess, but I'm not really sure because, you know, it's Poltergeist.
Well, from what I heard, they're branding it as a movie, a family movie.
Huh?
That's not what the trailer is. The trailer is a straight horror movie.
Okay.
It's rated R, so.
Oh, okay, then good. Maybe I think that was the onion I read. I don't know. It sounded weird. I didn't care so much.
The Onion would do that.
Yeah. I after many remakes of horror movies, I'm really uninterested in them because I've just been let down. I think the movie that scared me the most, the one that actually freaked me out as a kid was and gave me actual nightmares was Pet Sematary. It wasn't about the baby coming back to life. It wasn't about the creepy cat. It's the story she tells of taking care of her sick aunt. And the aunt reaching for her from the bed. And there was like a crevice about a body width from the bed to the wall in my room. And I would walk in and in my head I would see the aunt reaching out from there and totally freaked me out. Had to reorganize my room.
The only movie I remember watching that really just bugged me was 8mm.
Mm.
I was meant to do that. It got in your head. And yeah, that gets to your head kind of like, okay.
If you watch that movie,
when I was a kid, it was actually The Planet of the Apes.
The original
sequence. The original, no, the series actually, the opening sequence in the series.
Oh, jeez.
Where you see them rebel, I'm going, and I'm like six, and I'm going, you know.
I think we're the only two people in the world who remember the Planet of the Apes series.
Well, I remember it. I just wasn't freaked out by it.
The one that disturbed me was, do you remember the Anthony Hopkins movie Magic, which was him, it was a creepy puppet. It was a living puppet movie.
Oh.
And that one disturbed me so much that the TV commercials gave me nightmares. It's just a commercial. And the TV commercial disturbed me so much that then the radio commercials freaked me out to the point where I would be sitting in the car with my fingers in my ear because I could not listen to this thing without completely going into a little child panic attack.
Aww. All I can say is, like, ventriloquist dummies are just scary.
Mm-hmm.
Scarier than clowns.
I don't know. I think that's a little debatable.
Well, considering the only ventriloquist dummies I see are Jeff Dunham's ventriloquist dummies. So.
Yeah, those are cool.
No, they're
ventriloquist dummies actually reminded me of something scary.
Okay, Grace, we can't be friends anymore if you like Jeff Dunham.
No.
Sorry, can't be friends anymore.
I don't say I like him. I just say I'll just watch him.
God damn it, Aaron. You're breaking up the band here, Aaron. Seriously.
That's what I do.
Anyway, what is your story, Grace?
Okay, so my dad makes films. My dad's a filmmaker. Amateur filmmaker, but filmmaker nonetheless. And we have these mannequins in my house wearing armor. And we'll have people come over and we store them in the downstairs bathroom. And I'll be in the basement, and I'll hear thump, thump, ah! And we have someone have walked in the bathroom not knowing the mannequins were in there and, like, turned around because they thought there was somebody in there already.
The one in Roman armor and the one in the army BUs.
They're just standing there, chilling in the corner.
Just having random mannequins in your house is creepy enough. Having them near the bathroom, that is...
They're not near the bathroom. They're in the bathroom.
Okay, in the bathroom, that's legitimate scare time. What is your dad's doing it on purpose.
Probably,
yes.
And jumping back real quick to the Poltergeist remake, it's actually only rated PG-13 this time around.
Okay, what is it with people not having our horror movies being R-rated? I mean, seriously, you can't do anything on a PG-13.
You can do a lot of things on a PG-13, apparently.
Mm. I'm sorry. I want my hardcore violence. Thank you.
I just lost my train of thought.
That happens to you a lot, honey.
It does. It does. It's
maybe
a,
you should take, like, some ginseng or...
It's a side effect of attention deficit disorder, but yeah.
Sure, on your condition, yeah. Because all of a sudden everybody's got a condition now. Yeah, you can't just be absent-minded, no.
No, only since birth and diagnosed since the third grade. It's brand new, yeah.
Get out.
Caffeine is what I take for it. It helps.
I'm on methylphenidate. Caffeine is weak compared to that.
I don't have hyperactivity.
I don't either, but I space out.
Ah.
I'm like a bull in a china shop without it, so yeah, I need it.
Yes, no. It's funny how there are certain things that can creep you out, and, oh, sorry, I just remembered. See? ADD. So getting back to scary things in the bathroom, a friend of mine, last year, I believe it was, they had a horrible flood in their house. It was horrible. So they had to get everything gutted and redone. So because the insurance company was putting in new walls and asking them, well, since we're putting it in, what colors do you want here? What colors do you want there? They said, oh, well, we can redesign. And, they decided to redesign their bathroom into a horror movie theme.
Oh.
So with my help and my American address, I was able to help them order the shower curtain with the bloody...
Oh, the water activated.
And the help me in blood. And the bath mat that is pure white except for the bloody footprints.
Oh, no.
They had skulls all around, and it was a thing of beauty. And the best part was, this is where my game master lived, and so the best part was when somebody hadn't been to the house yet, and they excused themselves to go to the bathroom, and they'd walk in and go, whoa. And the best part was when we'd hear, huh, yeah, I think I'm with the right group of people. Then we knew they were a keeper.
My thing is, if I did that, I'd get sick of it after a while. Because
I don't think they will.
Well, yeah, that's just me. But
I don't know. Are you sick of your bathroom?
Everybody's.
I keep. Everybody gets. It's neat after a while, but I just get a feeling like after a while, you just get sick of the decor. You get tired of the decor and want to change. But I'm fickle, so.
3 houses I guess, and that's I still have frogs me. All over my bathroom.
What's with you and frogs?
Yeah, and aunt who liked owls, so.
There you go. I love frogs. They're great.
My favorite animal are bats, so.
All right, so before we wrap this up, any other movies that scared your childhood or just happen to be really good to watch on Valentine's Day if you are not into Valentine's Day?
A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yes.
Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Always a solid movie.
I'm going to go with Hellraiser.
Right up there.
Hellraiser, all right. Any others? I'm just going to go with it because it's in my front of my head all week. Fifth Element, just because it's an awesome movie.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Multipass. Multipass.
And a nice companion to that is always The Professional.
Oh, yes.
Leon the Professional.
That one reminds me of Go-Go 13.
Go-Go 13 was, I want to say it was based on that.
I was thinking about The Professional when we were talking about love stories.
Yeah.
That wasn't a love story at all.
Love between Leon and Matilda.
Yes. Hello. Yes. John Reno and Matt. Absolutely.
That was no love story.
Yes.
It was not romantic love, but there was love.
Yes.
So it was Misery.
Yeah. I love that movie. That was actually a really good movie. For me, The Professional is up there in those movies that make you feel awkward about the actress.
Why?
I can see it.
She's very precocious and very young. Much like...
also like, what, 13 in that movie?
Well, it's a lot like Kirsten Dunst in Interview with a Vampire.
Yes.
The actress is really good at playing the role, and it, as a viewer, you're like, that is really
like
good.
Taxi Driver.
That's awkward. Say again, Bill?
Goddamn Taxi,
like Taxi Driver.
I haven't seen Taxi Driver in forever.
I watched Taxi Driver for the first time this year.
Really?
I finally watched it.
Where have you been?
I just never, I never got around to it. Everybody was always telling me to watch it.
What's next? You haven't seen Citizen Kane?
And I hated Taxi Driver.
I haven't.
I absolutely hated Taxi Driver, and after watching it, I said... Well, of course he tried to shoot the president to impress Jodie Foster. I mean, it was like a textbook of how to be a crappy guy and think that women owe you and be violent and good things happen.
About being a sociopath.
Oh, it was just... Yeah. I hated it.
There's a lot to hate in Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah. But I ended up watching it because they were watching it for... watching 100 movies. Christiana... And Mike watch 100 movies, or what's the name of that podcast? Anyway, it's on Christiana Ellis's feed. They're going through AFI's top 100 movies, and so I finally watched it, and I was just like, nope, not a fan. But we've got a couple of recommendations from Kevin Crosby. We've got Lucky Number 11.
But
what?
I haven't watched it, so I can't.
I don't know.
It's kind of
Drek.
Thank you. Now I have to bleep that.
There's the bleep. There's the one bleep.
Well, I can do more if you want.
Well, that's not.
We can get an explicit tag.
No, explicit they're all going to show up as taco and burrito and frittata.
Sashimi.
Sashimi.
That's how she does her thing.
Wait. You need to sample out this one word, slagathor, and then just put that over.
Oh,
the
no, no. All of my bleeps are already recorded.
Aww.
I have random words all recorded by Zero Killer. Bill, what did you say?
I know of another podcast that has T.J. Miller saying balsa wood as their nice. Censor.
Balsa wood.
Balsa wood. I think I've heard that one, yes. All right, and Chris Price, he puts up The Quiet Man. Chris, isn't that the John Wayne Moreno
Quiet Man movie?
That's very love story, although I will say that movie is great for the fight scene. It starts at the top of the hill. They fight all the way down into the town.
You ain't
going to
pay for this drink. You ain't going to pay for this drink. I'm paying for this drink. No, I'm paying for this drink. Get your money so good here.
There's a quote from that movie that gets said quite a bit around my house.
Oh, yes?
What's that?
Let's go to church.
Let's go to church.
Yeah, that gets said very often around my house. So it's also my mother's favorite movie. So
they're fighting. They fight into the town. They stop. Everybody goes into the pub and have a drink. They come back out and they resume the fight. And
right.
It's wonderful.
It's a great fight scene.
I guess I saw the movie. I guess I've seen the movie then.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
I gotta go.
It's great. Oh, we've got more. Hang on.
Yeah, Kevin says boo.
Yes, Kevin does not appreciate his thing being booed. And Chris
No, actually, that's I think he's actually mentioning the 2005 horror movie Boo.
There's a horror movie named Boo.
Apparently, it was from Singapore.
Please tell me it's about a giant ghost that comes and will attack you unless you look directly at it, and then it hides.
The synopsis just says a handful of college students get trapped in a haunted hospital on Halloween.
Storyline.
It doesn't seem to be that, but...
It's got a mental institution in it.
Ooh.
That's always a recipe for a horror movie.
And fire, apparently.
Yeah, well, the hospital will shut down because of the fire.
So we've got...
Fire is secure for everything.
Oh, Kinsey can't believe no one's mentioned the Gremlins, apparently.
Exactly. Kinsey Schwartz says, what about Gremlins?
That's a Christmas movie.
Christmas, yeah.
That and Die Hard, the two greatest Christmas movies ever.
That's another discussion for another time.
And Lethal Weapon.
I was going to say Die Hard, but yeah, it's Christmas.
That's a Christmas movie, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the greatest Christmas movie ever made.
So the next ones we have is from Chris Price, Critters.
Oh, God, Critters.
And from Kevin, we've got Chud.
Chud. Oh, my God.
All right. So I think we've gone through the gamut. Oh, and on the event page, we've got another one from Martin, and I have to back him on this one. Let Me In sort of fits horror and friendship elements. Well, manipulation. Yes. Into blind obedience masked as friendship. I will agree with that one. That was a really, really good film.
Yeah.
Wait, the original or the remake?
Actually,
I'm going to say yes for both.
I would always go with the original.
Well, that's how it works with most things. Very rarely does the remake.
Don't you sass me, Nutty. Don't you sass me.
I did not sass you.
I'm getting tired of your sass, Nutty.
Fine. Don't come on my podcast.
Come on your podcast whenever I want in 3-year intervals.
Dave, you were saying?
Speaking of superhero movies that have a good, that surprised me with the friendship relationship, that would be X-Men First Class.
Yes.
The whole Xavier Mystique relationship, which I knew nothing about it going into it, like what part of the mythos they had kept and how they had mined it. And I was surprised at adding in that relationship, how that kind of deepened everything that happens after that. That actually retroactively makes the preceding movies seem more important.
Agreed. And
it made that up for the movie.
That's what he said. Adding it in, though, like, it changes so much. And I'm fine with that addition. And it explains a little bit more of the divide between Eric and Xavier. Shut up.
That reminds me of something, actually. A lot of things remind me of things. There's a poll going on right now.
You don't want a comic throwdown with me. I'll take you to school.
Yeah, you know what? Should I go get my Batman shirt? All right, then. Let Grace talk.
There's a poll going on right now, and I don't know who's running it, but it was for Valentine's Day, and it was who would you pair with Magneto if you were going to ship anybody? Right now, 90% of the votes, 90% of the votes have gone Charles.
But is that more to do with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen's romance?
No, this was specifically run about the comic books for one of the books. It was hilarious because the comments were, "We don't really care, so we're just going to click the one that seems most likely."
No shipping.
Amazing. I don't have a ship. I have an armada.
No shipping.
So basically, you ship everyone.
Yes. If you could call it that.
You muted me.
I didn't.
Who dares to mute me, Dave?
Someone who cares about my audio.
No shipping.
All right. So, and on that note, we're going to end this now. And I would like everyone to go around. I'm going to go around and everyone can plug your stuff and tell people where they can find you on the internet. And this time I'm going back the other way. So, Lulu, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm the invisible woman behind a lot of stuff. but Lucy LeBlanc on Google+. I'm there. Publibris.com, that's my website. I'm not selling anything. It's for self-publishing. I work for Podiobooks. I just recorded lines for Dan Charette, and I proofread books, and I edit audio, and that's it.
She does it all.
And she's Lulu Bizou on Twitter.
Yes, I am.
All right, and John Donahue, where can people find you on the internet and listen to your voice?
I am on the Into the Village podcast. Day in the Village, yeah. The Prisoner Intro Cast. You can find us there roughly every 2 weeks. We're currently on a hiatus. We're coming back on the, what is it?
We're recording again on the 22nd.
So our next episode will probably be available on the 1st. Hopefully. You can follow my semi sort of insane ramblings at Gibraltar42 on Twitter. And you can find me at the Hellfires blog on Tumblr.
All right. And Dave, where can people find you and your voice on the internet?
EvilGeniusChronicles.org. That's the source for everything.
Yeah, it was.
And you need to get a couple more podcasts out. That's just
I have so many in the can that are not published that it is truly ridiculous.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I haven't heard anything from Dave in a while. It's pretty awesome, though. And Aaron, where can people find your voice on the internet?
Similarly to John, I'm also on the In the Village intro cast to The Prisoner, which, as he's already stated, we record and hopefully we'll get a new episode out on the 1st of March. I also have a bit of a segment on Flash Pulp by the Skinner Corp that you can usually find anywhere on iTunes.
Grace?
I'm invisible. No.
You've got Tumblr.
I do have a Tumblr. If you really want to listen to me sing a Neo Cuzduel, you're more than welcome to find me on Tumblr at Oldberry in the Rushes.
And thank you everyone for joining us. Talk to you all later. Bye.
Be seeing you.
Bye. Bye.
Every year, thousands upon thousands of Martians go without podcasts. Mars needs podcasts. So this holiday season, think about them by going to theweirdshow.com and subscribe. Mars needs podcasts.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.